going on, ladies and gentlemen? This is Sean Kane. Welcome into the Lineup Logic Daily Fantasy Podcast, the NBA DFS podcast, preparing you for the slate to come on FanDuel. I am your host every day, except for Saturdays, when my man Josh Fernandez is the host. And Josh will co-host with me today on today's show. Recording late Thursday here. Still got some results coming in from the Thursday slate. But, you know, hey, not a bad night. Crazy, crazy late news of the big three coming right back. Just absolutely crazy that they, you know, said they weren't going to play, then they did play, and then they didn't play very well, and they lost. It was just kind of a, geez, situation in Cleveland there. But nonetheless, you know, lots of craziness happening out there. I hope people adjusted lineups appropriately. I made some major adjustments, the biggest of which I will talk about in the review segment of the podcast. But we got a nice slate coming up on Friday. Not a monster, a nine-gamer, not a little dinky slate. Really, really nice. And so in the next hour, we'll cover the preview the night to come in the NBA for Friday. We'll talk spreads. We'll talk injury news. And then we'll break down some players on the target on the slate upcoming. But before we do that, let's recap Thursday's lineup. One of these. Okay, so, you know, like I mentioned, I'm keeping tabs on things, you know, given the daily report card, basically, about how things, you know, how decisions went on the show. You know, and there were some really solid picks, solid decisions made with the show lineup, you know, or show, you know, some of the guys that we talked up. A couple guys kind of fell flat on their face, but a lot of guys did exactly what you wanted them to do, which is really, really nice. You know, the late news that the big three were out totally flip-flopped me. So I basically went off of the original show lineup is Kemba, Dame, Harden, Batum, Harkless, Joe Johnson, Serge Ibaka, Marvin Williams, and Okafor. Well, I wasn't in love with Okafor. You know, I looked a little bit deeper into it. I decided that I wasn't going to chase that. So I was kind of toying with that. But then, okay, the news about the news about the Cavs break. So I totally basically went, okay, I went to Russ because remember, in the beginning of the show, I said, if Russ is in a normal matchup, he would be my stud, no question asked. But because of the weird Cavs situation, I just didn't really know what to do with it. Anyway, we get the news. It's going to be a normal game. I immediately get off of Harden. I get on to Russ. So it's Dame and Russ. And then I get on to Fournier and Batum. I leave Harkless and Johnson alone. I leave Ibaka. And then I made some switches. I wanted to get on to Vooch. So I get on to Vooch and get down to Ryan Anderson. So that lineup really doing really nicely in cash games, likely going to hit that 300 number here in the second half of this Portland game. Really feel good about that. The original show lineup, the Kemba, Dame, Harden, Batum, Harkless, Johnson, Ibaka, Williams, Okafor. Well, you know, Ibaka, Williams, really nice, solid, you know, just about 5x value there from them. Batum nails 5x, Harden nails 4x at 50 points. Okay, fine. He could have done better. Everybody was talking about on Twitter all the turnovers. It really was a big deal. I mean, it cost us a lot of points. And then Kemba fell flat on his face with 25, which you could have scripted because the reality was, remember, we talked about the fact that the original matchup with Houston, Batum was not there. So Kemba had a massive usage rate there, you know, but Kemba just didn't have to do anything for them to keep them in that game. And then Beverly shut him down in the second half. Kemba was a total bust tonight. So, you know, and Joe Johnson, dude, Johnson was, I was watching this Jazz game. Johnson had four needless turnovers. Yogi Ferrell picked his pocket like three times. And he had three shots back to back to back in the overtime of the Utah game, and he missed them. I mean, he just, you know, makes one of those and doesn't have turnover. He hits value. It's 5X, no question, you know. At 3-8, that's really not hard to do. Jingles was the play from that game, though. I get Jingles with the bounce back against Dallas. Had a really nice game. You know, and Okafor absolutely shat the bed, which was, you know, kind of you could see coming, which is why I really wanted to get off of him and ultimately did in my own lineups. So, you know, really happy with the way that Vooch performed, very happy with the way, you know, not particularly thrilled with Ryan Anderson, but he didn't completely kill you. He went, you know, 4X basically at 19 points. So, you know, a nice number here, looking at probably, like I said, close to 300, 290s to finish out the night, cashing in 50-50s for sure in my personal lineups, which is good to get back on the green there. But let's go ahead and let's go look at the night to come in the NBA. Okay, we have, like I said, nine games here. First game of the night, we've got Miami going over to Brooklyn. 215 total in this one. Miami favored by 6.5. Waiting on the Dion Waiters news. That could really change things. I think if Waiters is in there, you could absolutely see that that number go up. But, you know, obviously Miami's favored. But, you know, Brooklyn has been playing well lately, keeping things a little bit closer, forcing teams to score a lot of points. So you like that game. You like that value that opens up if Waiters sits again with the ankle. I mean, huge usage bump for Dragic. You know, you get some Wayne Ellington in your life, and James Johnson becomes real, real sexy at power forward. I mean, he's generally a very attractive man. I just think that he's more attractive when Deion Waiters isn't on the court. San Antonio at Detroit, 210 total in this one. San Antonio favored by 4 on the road. Ugh, kind of a yucky game. Not really interested in these two pace-down teams, so I'm kind of fading this game. No serious injury news. Obviously, we know Pau Gasol is out. You got to keep your eye on Popovich resting people all the time, so be cautious there in rostering San Antonio players who might rest in this matchup. And Detroit, no serious injuries there to report. Moving on, Denver at New York, huge total here, almost 230. Love this game. Give me as many shares of this game as I can. 227 total here. New York only favored by 2. So I mean, this is like the game of the night, my friends. This is the one where you want all of your jelly beans. You know, love that on the Denver side of the ball, Gallo is still out, opening up a little bit of Wilson Chandler. Not a great matchup for him at the small forward position, but that definitely opens up more for Will Barton and Gary Harris. And possibly Kenneth Faried out. So that is huge. I think we'll know more tomorrow, but I love that Denver-New York game. Then you have the Lakers in Milwaukee, 219 total in this one. Milwaukee favored by 4. Of course, Jabari Parker with the knee. Shout out to the city of Milwaukee. We'll pour one out for you tomorrow. It's just a bummer, man. Jabari, I didn't really love him when he was at Duke because I just don't really like Dukies, but I liked him on the Bucks a lot. He was aggressive this year, and he was fun to watch fly. So, bummer there. We'll talk about that a little bit during the breakdown, Josh and I will. Interesting game, though, for sure. Like that game a lot. New Orleans at Minnesota, 210 total. Minnesota favored by 4. Of course, the other ACL of the season, Zach LaVine out. New Orleans, no serious news there except for Tyreke Evans dealing with an ankle. But, you know, he's kind of hard to roster these days with the limited minutes that he's getting. But, man, his price is dropping. Wait, my friends. His price is going down. When he gets some minutes back in his life, we need to get on Tyreke because man does everything. He really does do a lot with the basketball. Then Indiana at Washington, 216 total in this one. Washington favored by 5 at home. Not a bad game to target. Got to keep your eye on the Thad Young news on the Indiana side of the ball. Might open up some LaVoy Allen if you're interested. personally not that interested in a pretty decent Washington front court. No thanks. Golden State going to Memphis. 216, 218 total in this one. Golden State favored by 8 on the road. You got to think this is a little bit of a payback game for Golden State, but playing in Memphis, they're going to be forced to slow things down a little bit. So I don't love this game just because we saw what happened to, you know, a team like Phoenix. Now, Phoenix is not the Warriors, but like you saw how slow Memphis can play at home if they want to. So not a ton of fantasy goodness in that game to be had in my mind. Atlanta at Sacramento. Boogie is back. Boogie is back. I repeat, Boogie is back. 210 total in this one. Atlanta favored by 1 on the road, which seems like a little bit of a slap in the face to Boogie Cousins. I mean, give me a break. You don't think he's going to go to work against Dwight? Rudy Gay obviously out. Ty Lawson is a game-time decision. He went down with an ankle in that game. He is doubtful. I got that report, you know, so, excuse me, not a game time, but a doubtful. So that really, give me some Darren Collison, please. You know, and some Matt Barnes too, because Matt Barnes is going to take on a usage bump when, I don't know what they'll do necessarily. I have to run that query on off to figure out what it looks like without Lawson there. Chicago at Phoenix, no total in this one, mostly because we got questionable tags for both D-Wade and Jimmy. Man, I really like this game. I think it's probably going to be in the 220s once they finally set a line, or close to 220, north of 216, 217 for sure. You really like some of the Bulls in this situation at Phoenix. A good matchup for sure. An interesting game to target. We don't have any news yet, so we'll know more tomorrow. You know, it's the late hammer too. I would love to have Jimmy Butler as a late hammer tomorrow night at Phoenix. Oh man. Anyway, so that's the 9-game slate. Pretty nice little 9-game slate. Lineups are going to come together for you pretty easily. There's a lot of nice, solid options and all the different price points that are in good matchups. So, like I said, I brought on my boy Josh Fernandez to break down the slate. So Josh and I are going to go in right now and take a look at the players that we love. Who do you love? All right, we're going to jump into the slate now, break down the top tier players that we absolutely love. I've, of course, have my wingman here, Mr. Josh 300 Fernandez. Josh, I think that's going to be your new nickname, brother.
Oh, my God, man. That's too good of a compliment. I don't deserve it.
No, you're hot right now, man. I'm proud of you. I'm happy for you. We were just talking about it off the air. Good for you, man. You're rolling. You're having a great week. It started on Saturday and it's continued.
Yeah, man. It feels pretty good. You know, I'm kind of nailing down sort of a process here, a little way of approaching these slates that's working out pretty well for me. It only took me 4 years to figure it out, so better late than never. I don't know, whatever.
Trust the process, baby. Yeah. Trust.
Hey, but damn it, man, if I would have been on Dario Saric today, I'd be sitting at 330 something right now with Westbrook, you know, with a quarter and a half to go. So, yeah,
We can always dream. Yep. We can always dream, you know.
Yeah, buddy.
What could have been. Keeps me up at night.
It's all good.
But no, hey, this Thursday slate's working out fine. You know, we're doing pretty well. Things are pretty much going according to plan. I think, you know, the Sarge thing is kind of crazy right now. People are definitely looking at that number and going, oh my God, how did he do that? But everything else kind of doing what we wanted it to do, mm-hmm. For the most part. So not too bad.
Yeah.
But hey, let's jump into this Friday slate because we got, is it an 8-gamer, if
I'm correct.
Nine
gamer. Finally, dude, a reasonable size. Like, can we stop with just the 12 or four?
I know, man. Well, this is tonight. And by tonight, I mean Thursday and Friday. That's like my wheelhouse. It's like the edges of my wheelhouse is 5 to 9 games. I love 5 to 9 game right. slates because, you know.
No, I think most people do because, you know, you just have a really nice – you have a solid enough pool that you can feel like you're making good decisions, you know, but you don't have the wild amount of variance that you get when you have 10 or more games. So
for sure.
All right, let's jump in here. You know, as usual, we're going snake style. Josh is going to take point guard and small forward. I'm going to take shooting guard and power forward, and then we'll both talk about some centers. Josh, go ahead and jump into the stud point guards on the slate for Friday.
Sure. So we got two guys that meet the 9K plus limit, and that's John Wall. Taking on the Pacers in Washington. He's at 10-5. And then we got Steph at Memphis at 9-5. Honestly, I really don't like either player tonight. I mean, obviously, they're great players. I mean, we're talking about John Wall and Steph Curry here. But these matchups, just they're not really appealing to me. Indiana, they just don't give up a lot of fantasy production to opposing point guards, much less opposing teams in general. In fact, over the last 10 games, the Pacers have given up the 24th least points to opposing teams, 21st least to opposing point guards. So, yeah, you know, John Wall, he's a beast. He could put up 50, you know, and say DVP be damned. But I just think you can do better somewhere else if you're paying over 10K. As for Steph, it's the same deal. You know, Memphis, they're middle of the pack in point guard production over their last 10 games, but they're second to last in overall opposing team production. So, you know, when you're playing the Grizzlies, just the teams as a whole are not producing a lot of fantasy production. So there's just no reason to chase him in cash games at this salary on the road against this opponent. So I'm just saying stay away from both players. But if you're dying to use one of them, I choose Wall. You know, he loves playing at home. He's facing a weaker opponent, and that's really all there is to it. So, yeah, to both guys, not my cup of tea for tomorrow night.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's a, you know, this is an important part of this segment is, you know, sometimes the reality is like, it is just as important to understand who you don't want to pay for at your stud position as it is, you know, to understand who you want to pay for, you know what I mean? So I think that there's absolutely, you know, a lot of value in saying like, I just don't really feel like these are good plays. So, you know, no, okay, good call. No Steph, no Wall. We'll spend our money elsewhere. We'll take our business elsewhere, sir.
Yes.
Thank you kindly.
I am going to leave and turn my nose up at these two gentlemen.
Yeah, exactly. Two all-star point guards. We don't need you.
John Wall and Steph Curry suck, bro.
Yeah, dude, they're so overrated. unbelievable.
You're listening, well, John and Steph, I didn't mean to say anything like that because, of course, they're listening to our podcast.
Yeah, John Wall listens every morning on his way to the Verizon Center. I'm surprised you didn't know that. He just loves hearing his own name. All right, at shooting guard, it is Giannis. Giannis at 11-2, and I was noting this every – I swear to God, every Friday at shooting guard, it's Giannis.
I know. I noticed. I just was thinking that too. It's funny.
Always on. He plays Friday night like every single week. But anyway, Giannis at 11-2. He's got a real nice matchup at home against the Los Angeles Lakers. You know, obviously the question on everybody's mind is, what does the Jabari Parker news do? Which, by the way, that's brutal, man. Like, I feel terrible.
Yeah, it sucks. It really does suck.
Shout out to a Wisconsin sports fan, friend of the podcast, dude. We pour one out for you, my friend. We'll pour one out for you. And all you wonderful Bucks fans, fear the deer. And Joe Metz, dude. Joe Metz over at Fantasy Forecast. I wonder if they're in mourning right now. Everybody in Milwaukee wearing black. It's not good. It's not good. It's a bummer to see a young, talented player like that go down. But anyway, Giannis at 11-2. So anyway, let's break down what happens with Jabari off the court. It's actually nothing. So the biggest – it's very strange. Everybody would probably be like, oh, wow, yeah. Well, they played so much together on the – they basically play the same – they played all the same minutes. So it really like and Parker really hasn't missed that much. Giannis really didn't take a usage bump. He doesn't take a fantasy, you know, an FD points bump as of yet. You know, that could very well change this season as we go through this, you know, rest of the season stretch with Giannis, with Parker off the floor. Obviously, we'll see how that changes. But as of right now, it's really not that big of a change for Giannis. The biggest bump, strangely enough, goes to Mirza Tevlevic. Yeah, and Henson, Johnny Henson. You know, that's something to keep in mind. But here's why we like Giannis, okay? Anytime Giannis has a plus pace differential, like he will against the Lakers tomorrow night, he has scored 50 FD points with 80% consistency. He's exceeded value by almost 8 points in those plus pace matchups. You absolutely love Giannis in a pace up game. You know, this is the target when we take Giannis. Lakers are not good against the shooting guard. They're not good against the guard. I don't care where you think. I mean, basically, like, from small forward all the way to point guard, any of those perimeter players, the Lakers are not good. The Lakers aren't good really against anything because we've been targeting them at every single position. But I mean, I think the thing you have to wonder is like, okay, who guards Giannis tomorrow night? Nobody has the size on the Lakers to take him down. No one has the speed. If it's Luol Deng because of size, then he doesn't have the speed to withhold him. You know, Lakers bottom five DVP, like I said, to guards. And it just feels like a really good spot to roster Giannis. Giannis trying to give a little confidence boost to the Bucks fan base going forward, try to get a nice W after the bad news at home. You know, for 11-2, that's not my favorite price. You know, 56 points is a big number for Giannis to hit. But, you know, it's a great matchup, and we know he has a great ceiling. And we might see a whole new level of Giannis tomorrow night without Jabari in the lineup.
Yeah, man, I definitely agree. I think he's, you know, one of the better stud plays on the board. And, yeah, you know, the salary has gone up quite a bit, but, you know, that's a dream matchup for him. And the minutes are going to be well over 30, 35, you know. He could push 40 minutes, so I feel good about him as well, man.
Yeah, definitely. All right, talk to me about small forward, Josh.
All right, so small forward, we're looking at three guys. We've got KD, Jimmy, and Kawhi. KD's taking on Memphis on the road. Kawhi's taking on Detroit on the road. And Jimmy is taking on Phoenix on the road. Well, one thing is not like the others, and that is the matchup of the opponent, and that is the Phoenix Suns. Jimmy Butler has the far superior matchup against the Suns. So all things being equal, and I think they are, these three players are pretty much equal to me. I'm going to take the player with the better matchup, and that's Jimmy. Now the question is, will he be suiting up? He's got the heel issue. If he does suit up and plays a full allotment and is slated to play a full allotment of minutes, I'm going to take him. I'm just not really interested in touching either Durant or Leonard. So there's really no reason to pay up for them, just like Wall and Curry. Why pay up for them when there's a handful of cheaper players with far better matchups, you know, lower down the salary scale? You know, as far as Jimmy goes, you know, I don't think it's a secret that the Suns give up a lot of fantasy production. In fact, they give up the sixth most over the past 10 games. And they, you know, they do fare well against small forwards. I think you can that's a testament to PJ Tucker's defense.
Yeah.
You know, he's a really good defender.
That's a real thing.
Yeah. So, but here's the thing. We've talked about it before, Sean, and Jimmy's one of those threes that he's a facilitator. You know, he's not just a wing player. You know, he'll take the ball up the court. I mean, he'll run the point, you know, as it were. And I think especially more so now with the Bulls point guard position in flux, you know, who is it? Is it Grant? Is it Rondo? Is it MCW? Like, who knows? So if Jimmy plays, I mean, he's pretty much going to be their facilitator. And the reason I bring that up is the Suns get killed by point guards and shooting guards too. So at 9,500, you know, facing the Suns in their house, you know, pace up game. I think he has an easy shot at 45 or 50, you know, and it could be one of those nights where he flirts with 60. So, you know, closely monitor him on Twitter throughout the day, see what the news is. And, you know, hopefully if you can get some depressed ownership on him, that's another benefit. You know, if people are scared away from last week's debacle with the late scratch.
Yeah. Well, I think that'll definitely affect ownership a little bit, you know, unless we get like a very affirmative, like Jimmy Butler will play against the Suns, you know. You know, if you get a Jimmy Butler is probable against the Suns, then I think people will be a little bit more nervous. You know, I think I love Butler in a pace up game. You know, and I think that at 9,500, you're kind of right there where you want him. You know, it's not a perfect price, but it's absolutely fine. And especially, you know, maybe if we get Dwayne Wade out, this is just a great opportunity for, you know, the Bulls don't play great defense either. So it's a great opportunity for the Suns and the Bulls to just trade buckets, and Jimmy will do that. All right, at power forward, it is my boy. I'm excited to say it's my man, Nikola Jokic, 9'9". He is going up to New York City under the lights. The battle of the unicorns, Josh. Jokic versus Kristaps.
The showdown.
The showdown.
The showdown and the throwdown.
Dude, the Eastern European unicorn battle is just one of my favorite things. Like, I will 100% have a lineup with both of them in it, just because I love them both so much as players. The fact that they're like just these Eastern European Kevin Durants, you know, not quite the same, obviously, but like same physical build, just makes me so happy. Jokic, he's still under 10K, which is, you know, okay, we're okay with that. And the reality is like, we know what happens with athletic bigs against the Knicks. Like, Blake destroyed them just the other night. You know, they've given up 51 points to the power forward in the last five and 54 points to the center in the last five. Okay, let's split the difference. 53 points. I'll take Jokic for 52 and a half points tomorrow night. No problem. Here's what's really interesting, right? We have possibly no Fareed. He's got an ankle. I'm not sure if he will play or not, but it doesn't seem like he'll play. No Gallo, no Moutier, all been ruled out. So Barton and Chandler, Jokic, Barton, and Chandler all have 24% usage rates without them. But Jokic is by far the most efficient scorer. He averages 1.25 fantasy points per minute. I actually think that this game will probably end up having a pretty high total and a pretty close spread, because neither of these teams play very good defense. Both of these teams play at a very high pace. I'm seeing over 220, no question. You know, we just really like Jokic in this situation. And if you are unabashedly biased towards Nikola Jokic like I am, then it's a good situation to roster him.
Yeah, man, definitely. I mean, he just had a triple double the other day, like coming off of that long absence.
That hip injury. Yeah, he triple doubles like as much as freaking Harden.
Yeah. What was that? The February 3rd. Okay, yeah, against Milwaukee. Yeah, he triple doubled. And then, you know, he had a stinker against the Spurs. He only played 15 minutes, whatever. You know, against Dallas, you know, a lot of teams I mean, Dallas sucks, but players just don't produce as much against the Mavs. But then he comes to Atlanta and puts up 18 and 15, you know? So I think he's fully healthy and he's ready to, you know, put up another double-double, flirt with 20-20. I mean, he's just – he's. I love that comparison to KD. That's a really good comparison.
Oh, I mean, I think the thing that we have to remember is okay, we look at that game log and – you know, okay, San Antonio, Dallas, Atlanta, all pace down teams, all teams with decent quality interior defense. You know, Dallas doesn't really have any quality interior defense, but they are committed to stopping the center. Like, they're DVP wise, they're pretty good at stopping the center. They just are stingy with centers in general because they're not afraid to double team centers and let people shoot the three and kind of risk it that way. Which, you know, okay, that's not a situation that benefits Jokic, but the Knicks game is an amazing situation for Jokic. I mean, Blake had 53, and Blake, you know, Blake did most of that work just with buckets. So I love Jokic tomorrow night. All right, Josh, what do we got at center? You got a stud center for us here.
Yeah, and in fact, I got two for you, Sean. We got three guys at the stud salary range. We've got DeMarcus against Atlanta in Sacramento. We've got Cat in Minnesota against New Orleans, and then Whiteside is on the road at Brooklyn. I'm gonna just go ahead and say no to Cousins. You know, we just did mention Jokic's performance against Atlanta, putting up 40 the other night. You know, I mean, DeMarcus, here's the thing. Boogie's probably going to come back from his temper tantrum suspension and put up like 70, and I'm going to be eating crow. But I'm going to stick to this process of just looking at the matchup and say no. I would much rather roster Towns or I can't say and. I wish I could roster both, but we can only roster one center in FanDuel.
BK, baby.
BK, man, yeah. But either one of these guys I'd much rather roster than Boogie. Let's just start with Whiteside for now. He's on the road at Brooklyn, 9,100. You know, what is there to say? I mean, the Nets, you don't really have to analyze much with the Nets. They're just horrific, and I don't see why Whiteside can't just decimate them. He did have a pretty poor performance against them about 2 weeks ago, only putting up 10 points in 21 minutes, but he was going through a really rough stretch. He wasn't really producing like he was earlier on in the season. And you know, he was coming off an injury. But I think he's back in the groove now. He just put up 57 against Philly with a 30-20 game with three blocks, which was pretty unreal. So I think Hassan is back in his wheelhouse now, and I don't see any reason why he can't kill Brooklyn, you know, in their house. You know, he's really going to be leaned on hard. But I think Cat is the way to go. I mean, taking on New Orleans, a team that can't rebound the basketball, you know, he should have no trouble, you know, getting well over a dozen rebounds, you know, 15 to 16 rebounds. And of course, you know, keep his scoring streak alive. I mean, he's scored over 23 points in, what is it, 2, 4, 6, 8 games straight. And has actually gotten over 30 points three times in that span as well. So, you know, he's one of the few centers who consistently scores 25 to 30 points every single night with peripheral stats to boot. You know, three out of his last five games, over 50 FanDuel points, every game in that span over 40. I don't see why you wouldn't roster Towns tomorrow night. That's why I say get away from Wall, get away from Curry, get away from those small forwards. You know, if you can find a way to get Kat and Giannis in your lineup, that is a pretty nice situation you've got
there.
Well,
I mean, And you know, okay, or a cat in a Jokic or a cat in a Jimmy, right?
Yes,
a
10K absolutely.
Guy and a 9K guy, and you feel really rock solid about that, you know, and you're not going with multiple guys in the 11K range, and you're still, you know, I mean, those by the end of a lineup build, those hundreds of dollars make a difference, you know, and so, you know, a 10-7 cat with a Jimmy or with a Jokic, that feels really, really nice because you feel like you've got 250-point opportunities there.
Yeah, man. I love him tomorrow night. And yeah, like you said, pairing him with a low owned, healthy, hopefully Jimmy, you know, against Phoenix or Jokic, you know, who is back in the swing of things, you know, taking on the Knicks, who, you know, they just can't hang with players like him.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully everybody else gets on like John Wall and he you know, doesn't impress.
You know, I mean, I think the news is, I mean, I don't know. The news is out about the Knicks front court. So Jokic he'll push 30-40%, but I think people will be turned off by his recent box scores, you know, and I don't know how much people will watch him and how much people will pay attention to his numbers. So we'll see. All right. Point guard, let's go on to the fantasy grout, the mid-tier here, 5 to 8K more or less. We're going to offer up a couple guys at each here because, you know, we gave a couple options in the grout section here. Josh, you got a couple point guards for us that you like. Talk to me.
Yeah, so I've got three guys in this range. And I'm looking at Goran Dragic, Ricky Rubio, and Derrick Rose. I think this is a really nice trio of point guards. I'm comfortable using any of the two or two of this trio. There's the words I was looking for. I'm pretty much sold on Rubio at 6,500 taking on New Orleans. I love the idea of just starting my lineup by stacking him with Cat. I just think that's an outstanding way to start building your cash game lineup, maybe even your GPP lineup tomorrow. The Pelicans are just getting torn up by everybody. I mean, their defense is horrific. They play at a high pace. You know, there's a lot of extra little points going around for everybody. And Ricky, you know, he's that kind of guy that, you know, he racks up a lot of fantasy production in every stat category, you know, 10, 12 real points, you know, 8, 10 assists, you know, a few rebounds, a couple steals, you know. So I think tomorrow night's just a great matchup for him, especially because Drew Holiday is also, you know, a big focal point of that offense. And that'll give him more, you know, more of a focal point on Ricky to play defense against Drew. So I love Ricky. As far as Rose and Dragic go, you know, Rose, he's back, you know, from his injury. A lot of people were, you know, a little confused as to what to make of him with the news that, you know, the Knicks might be looking to move on from him as we approach the trade deadline. Well, you know, he came out against the Clippers, barely missed 40, just by a fraction of a point. So I think he should fare similarly playing at home against the Nuggets. It's just 6,200. He shouldn't have any trouble returning some serious value. And then, of course, there's Dragic. He's a cash game beast, pretty much a lock to give you 35, give or take a few points. Taking on the Nets. Again, what do I need to explain? They're the Nets. He should have a shot at 50. He just put up 42 a couple weeks ago against the Nets. 8,100, solid play. I think he is much more attractive than Wall and Curry. Sure, they're more likely to get you 50, whereas he's more likely to get you 40. But, you know, you're saving over 2K using Dragic than Wall and close to 2K with Dragic versus Curry. So, you know, I love a combo of Dragic and Rubio for sure. And Rose, you know, he probably brings up the rear of that trio there, but damn it, man. He just almost missed. He almost put up 40 the other night. So,
yeah
I mean, like that trio right there.
I can't really get over the fact that I got off of Dennis Schroeder at 6'2", the other night against Denver, and Schroeder went for 44 points. You know, I had him in the original show lineup, and then I got off of him. Rose priced at the same price, taking on the same team on the road. I just feel like D Rose is my dog.
Yeah, I heard those floppy ears.
Yeah. I think Dragic appeals to me quite a bit if we get news that Waiters sits. Then I'm really into Dragic. Give me all the Dragic. But 8-1 feels like a kind of a ceiling price for him, even with a great matchup at Brooklyn. You know, I don't know.
It's an expensive price, but he's just super consistent. And so I'm willing to pay, a $500, $600 premium just for that consistency.
I feel you. That makes a lot of good sense to me. All right, let's go on to shooting guard. Interestingly enough that I mentioned Waiters. Waiters, 7-1. I think he's going to be back from the ankle. We're not really sure. We'll keep our eye on the news. But he's got Brooklyn. I just don't really see any reason to fade shooting guards against Brooklyn these days. We just watched Bradley Beal go absolutely nuts. You know, yes, he got some extra minutes, but he was at 40 before that game was over. Very similar profile, you know, usage rates, etc. Waiters is averaging 40 in two games against the Nets, 40 FD points. You know, as long as he's a go, at 7-1, I'm okay with that. I think he returns at least 35 points. And if he doesn't go, then I'd happily go up to Bradley Beal at 7-5, who's going up against Indiana. So I think, you can kind of try to fit either one of those guys in. I also really like Will Barton. Now, Will Barton breaks one of my rules, which is not chasing points. And Will Barton will be chalky. People are going to be on him because he's just so hot right now. Box score chasers are going to be all over Barton. So I don't love that, right? But Barton is priced at 5'8". He's got a matchup with New York, his bottom 10 DVP to the shooting guard. Great pace, great scoring in this game. The reality is, too, that without Fareed or Moutier in the lineup, Barton takes on a pretty big usage rate. I mean, 24% usage, he's right up there. And he's the cheapest of those three plays. You know, Chandler, Jokic, and Barton, all at that 24% usage rate. Barton is definitely the cheapest. Gary Harris is definitely in play because he's been getting a lot of minutes. But he's just taking so many more shots. He's averaging 5 more fantasy points on the road this year. And recently in the last two games, he's taken 18 and 19 shots. Here's what's crazy about his last game in Atlanta, Josh. He had 44 FD points, right? He took 9 threes and missed every single one of them. He went 0-for-9 from behind the arc in 37 minutes. However, he had 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. That's how he hit value. So you like a guy who stuffs the stat sheet. The same reason that we like a guy like Nick Batum tonight. Batum returns value right on the nose in that situation. And I think that that's the kind of situation that that Barton is in. Plus matchup, plus pace. He does it all. And that's kind of what you want in a player who is priced in that 5K, 5, 6K range, because it's those peripherals that give you the opportunity to get to 40. It's not just the scoring, right? Will Barton's not going to score you 35 points. He's not Devin Booker, but he could get you, all those rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, etc. And that's really what Barton, that's what you're paying for right there.
Yeah, man, definitely. Barton, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure he lines up at both guard positions.
They run a small ball lineup where they'll have Barton and Harris in the floor at the same time. I mean, Barton and Harris, you'd think like their minutes would be in a problem with each other, but the reality is they both get about 35 minutes a game right now.
Yeah, so that Gallo injury coupled with Moutier being banged up has really been a boon for Barton. I like that call a lot, and he's become pretty popular lately. But when it comes to cash games, I have this this kind of rule of thumb is with GPPs, you know, you definitely want to be a bit contrarian, but with cash games, it's like, go with the trend. I mean, look at cash games like trading stocks. You know, there's no sense in getting cute and, you know, like trying to go against the grain. I mean, if something's going up, then go with it, you know, and in your 50-50s and, you know, your small leagues, I mean, go ahead, roster Barton. And if he's 50% owned, great. Then you and the 50% of the people that own him, you know, that ship can go down together or sail strong together.
Yep. Yep. Definitely. That's a good call. All right. Let's look at the small forward grout here, Josh.
Yeah, so small forward, same deal as the studs. Nothing really to get excited about matchup-wise. We've only got six players who fit in this salary range. We're looking at Paul George, Carmelo, Andrew Wiggins, Otto Porter, Wilson Chandler, Marcus Morris. You know, they're all solid, consistent players. They all range from they're ranging from 8,700 to 5,800. George at the top, Morris at the bottom. I kind of feel like they all blend in some regard. I mean, I don't see Paul George facing the Wizards as appealing, as more appealing, you know, than say Marcus Morris, you know, at 5,800 taking on the Spurs. I mean, they both just have subpar matchups. So that whole range of players, I'm just not that excited about them. But I do think the best plays are Wiggins and Carmelo, with Wiggins getting a slight edge since he's 500 cheaper. Wiggins is at 7,600 while Melo's at 8,100. They both have nice matchups, but I really like Wiggins against New Orleans. They're just really struggling against wings. You know, again, I'm not crazy about him. You know, he's been really consistent lately. I don't know. This might be a little bit of a bias talking because I've been burned by him in the past. So I need to tune that bias out and just look at the box scores as of late. And he's just been a really solid 30 to 40 point player.
Truth is, Josh, I mean, he goes up to like 35% usage in that offense without LaVine. And he's just been taking so many more shots. So, I mean, you know, the logic is there. I don't think you need to fade the reality of the situation that they just need more scoring from their wings. And Wiggins is that guy. And he's performed pretty well.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. I think small forward, I'm not crazy about the top salary guys. There's a few cheap guys that I am really excited about. I think Wiggins is the top small forward given his salary and matchup. So I would be perfectly fine rostering him as my small forward one, paying down. And you notice that I've mentioned three T-Wolves. I really like a Rubio, Wiggins, and Cat stack. I really like it. I think Thibodeau, you know, we can all be comfortable with the minutes that these T-Wolves get. You know, they're all getting 35 plus minutes a game. So, yeah, you know, I'm as of right now pretty set on a stack of those three players, that team stack.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely play your Wolves in cash for sure because the minutes are just so secure.
Yeah, man.
Definitely feel that for sure. No question. Okay, moving on to the grout at power forward. I really like two guys in the 6K range tonight. You got Kristaps at 6'8" and James Johnson at 6K. You know, Josh, I was one game early with the Kristaps bounce back. I thought for sure that it was going to be the Cavs game. I was like, he's going to go for 40. He goes for like 25 or 26 or something. Anyway, and then, of course, just last game, he goes for 40, which is, you know, for most of the winter where Kristaps has been priced because, you know, he's been priced in those mid-7Ks because he can go for 40 pretty easily any night. So he's at 6'8". He still hasn't gone up over back over 7K. You know, he's going to be in another nice pace-up game like the last one. You know, he's averaged 35 points in plus pace matchups this year with an 85% consistency rate. You know, for cash game play, you're getting 35 points out of a 6'8" power forward. You're pretty pleased with that. He's going to face Denver. They're 20th in DVP to the power forward. They're allowing 48 points to in the past five games to the position. 34 points to hit value, that's not bad at all. I'll take that. He's better at home. He's better defensively at home. And here's a weird stat. I was kind of looking into this because he's got a couple blocks every game. You know, he's got like – he's one of the like leaders in blocks. He's definitely leader in blocks on the Knicks. Denver allows the 23rd highest block rate in the league, and that might just be because of all the extra possessions. But, you know, maybe we get a couple extra blocks, we get a couple extra peripherals from Kristaps. I don't love the rebounding situation. Denver's a pretty good rebounding team, but, you know, they do give up a lot of points in the paint. So Kristaps seems like a pretty solid play to me at 6'8". Now, the other one is James Johnson. James Johnson has an excellent matchup with Brooklyn. We obviously don't need to break that down necessarily. But Johnson just last game with Waiters out had 35 in Milwaukee. You know, he's – Josh, you always use this term, like that second unit stud, as you call it.
Yep.
You know, I think if Waiters sits, we have to play some James Johnson. He gets a full 2% usage bump with Johnson off, or excuse me, with Waiters off the floor, and he's averaging a full FanDuel point per minute with Waiters off the floor. He's placed really, really well for this matchup at 6K. Last game against the Nets, he had 36 FanDuel points with Waiters on the floor, even.
Yeah, so, and you look at his box score, and every night he's getting blocks and steals. He had one outlier game against Minnesota with six turnovers. But every single night, you know, he's getting those blocks and steals. He's getting a few dimes. You know, occasionally he'll get you, you know, 15 to 20 points. But, you know, that's a really good call against Brooklyn. James Johnson, if you want to get some Heat shares, but you're not interested in paying up for, say, Hassan Whiteside.
Yep. Exactly my thoughts. You know, when you have those plus matchups, you kind of want low cost exposure to them, you know, and I think that Johnson profiles that well for me. All right, so at the Grouted Center, my guy is in a solid matchup, Washington, Marcin Gortat. Dude, Gortat has been unbelievably consistent of late. At 7K, you are just getting a lock for 5X. He has had 35, 35, 34, 43, 33, 33, 41. Those are the last. Those are his game logs. You know, clearly there's been kind of a marked shift in the way that Gortat's being used. His rebound numbers are up. His points are up above double digits and basically all of his last 10 games. You know, he's getting a lot of good usage in that offense, you know, and I think that that's an intentional thing that the Wizards are trying to utilize Gortat in a way that he can be really effective. You know, he's got a great matchup with Indiana. We know Miles Turner is not a wonderful defender. They're allowing 45 points to the center in the last 10, which is bottom 10 in DVP in the league. You know, if Gortat's not the guy that like you're going to go out and throw in your roster immediately, but if you're coming to the end of your lineup build and you're like, okay, I can make two or three more moves and Gortat comes to you, I think you feel really comfortable with Gortat in cash games tomorrow night.
Yeah, Gortat's, you know, and the other thing with Gortat is he gets really solid minutes, and everybody knows, you know, minutes in daily fantasy sports, I guess all of the daily fantasy sports, although there are no minutes in baseball news.
There are no minutes in baseball. It's exactly what I was just going to say.
But, you know, minutes in basketball, I mean, that's the key, you know, and very few guys can circumvent that rule of thumb and give you, you know, outstanding production in, you know, 20 minutes. You know, Joel Embiid, please come back to us soon with your 50 points in 28 minutes.
With your amazing efficiency.
Yeah, but Gortat, you know, 35 minutes every single night, you know, sub 7K center, you got to like it.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Well, actually, precisely 7K. All right, let's go. Yeah, he did. Let's jump into the bargain basement here, where we take a look at the players that are, you know, at or below in the 5K range somewhere. Josh, we got a couple nice names here in the point guard category. What you got for us?
yeah, so in point guard, I've got two guys, one of whom I'm really excited about. The other one, you know, I'm moderately excited about, and I'm looking at my notes and I put them backwards, in the header here. Darren Collison, he's a must play for me at 5,200 taking on the Hawks. The Hawks get killed by opposing guards. He's just coming off a 40-point outing against Boston. I don't know how people feel about the return of Boogie. If they think that that's going to, you know, really affect him, you know, whatever, it might. Okay. Maybe he won't score 26 real points and he'll score 16 real points. But you take, you know, 10 real points, raw points, whatever you want to call them, off of his line against Boston, and he would have put up 30.7 points.
Right.
And that's what you want from Darren Collison. You're not looking for 40, you're looking for 30.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, in his minutes, the last four games have been 38, 36, 33, 38. You know, he's getting well over 30 minutes. You know, he's shooting the basketball. He's lining up at the shooting guard position a lot of the time. So they're keeping him on the court with Ty Lawson. I know that Ty Lawson, as of right now, is a game time decision. Yeah, he just had an MRI. So it's possible that he'll be off. And, you know, that's obviously good news for Collison. You know, Collison taking on Atlanta. I mean, it's just a great matchup for him. The other player that I like is Malcolm Brogdon. Brogdon, you know, he just came off a really nice outing against Phoenix a couple nights ago. You know, he's getting starters minutes. Is he starting or is he on the second unit? I can't remember.
He kind of going halvesies with Delly.
Yeah.
You know, I will be interested to see if, you know, if he goes to the first unit, maybe. I don't know what they're going to do, you know, with the shakeup. The other thing we have to keep in mind is the return of Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton getting 15 minutes a game. You know, there's a little bit of usage there. But, you know, no, I mean, I feel like Brogdon is safe for, still safe for like 28 minutes a game for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, there's something to be said about second unit point guards. You know, DFS players would be smart to really get a grasp of what are the point guard situations where the two players are kind of neck and neck. This is one of them. You know, Delly and Brogdon are pretty much neck and neck, not as far as skill goes, but as far as like the perception of them by their coach. You know, Jason Kidd has crazy, you know, the machinations of Jason Kidd's, you know, lineups are hard to put your finger on, but I just look at Brooklyn, you know, with Dinwiddie and Whitehead. You know, Whitehead is the backup point guard, but, you know, anybody that thinks that, you know, Dinwiddie is the better play on any given night just because he's the starter, you know, in my opinion, is incorrect. You know, I like Whitehead more if I'm forced to roster. A Brooklyn point guard. And I think the same goes for Brogdon. You know, I don't care that he's the quote unquote backup. You know, he's the better player and he gets more production and more minutes a lot of the time than the starter. So that might be a homework assignment for people over the weekend, is to just really get a handle on what the true meaning is of, you know, who these backup point guards are and which ones are, you know, maybe a little sneaky play such as a Brogdon or, you know, a Whitehead, for example.
I mean, I feel comfortable with Brogdon. I mean, he's shown 30 plus point ceiling, you know, and I think the Lakers matchup is a really good one. You know, he just did 38 against Phoenix, and mostly via peripherals, you know, and that's the kind of play that you have here against Lakers, you know, pace up, similarly poor defense. So I think that's a good call. At shooting guard, I've got three different options for you. I've got Tim Hardaway Jr. at 5'6", who's not my favorite. I got to be honest with you. He's got a pace down situation in Sacramento that some people forget is that Sacramento is actually paced down. But Gary Harris also at 5'1". You know, he's not going to take as many shots as Barton. He's not going to take that massive usage that Jokic has. But Gary Harris is a pretty solid player, and at that price, you don't really feel too bad about Gary Harris, to be honest. And then I also really don't mind Swaggy P. And the reason that I don't mind Swaggy P at 4'3" is, you know, he's getting 25 to 30 minutes. And Milwaukee actually allows some of the most three-pointers made per game. So for a guy who shoots the three, you know, Milwaukee is actually a really good matchup. And I'd rather pay 4'3" for Swaggy than pay 6'2" for Lou Williams, because Lou really only gets 25 minutes a game. You know, whereas Swaggy gets the same minutes, he's just on the first unit and doesn't have as much of a usage rate. So, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world to pay 4'3" for a guy who might jack up a couple threes against the, you know, against the perimeter defense of the Bucks.
Yeah, that's a good call. And, you know, while we're on the topic of first or second unit players, I just tweeted at you today the link to NBArotations.info. And I was poking around on it some more today, and it's a really cool resource. I highly recommend listeners check it out. It visualizes when players are on the court. So you can see, you know, from a top down view, what it looks like on how coaches are utilizing their players, you know, when they're playing with, you know, when they're playing with particular guys. And just check it out. It's NBArotations.info. Just look at it. It'll make more sense when you see it. I'm not really good at explaining what it is, but hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool website. So check out Josh's timeline to see that link. All right, Josh, talk to me about the value small forward situation we've got.
Right, so value small forward, I'm looking at a trio of Michael Beasley, Matt Barnes, and Brandon Ingram. Now we're talking. I am really excited about these guys. They're all super cheap. They have safe minutes. They have extremely beatable opponents who are just getting destroyed by wings and forwards. The cheapest of the bunch is Brandon Ingram. He's just 4,100. He's facing the Bucks in Milwaukee. He's been really consistent as of late. He's finished over 20 FanDuel points in his past three games. You know, I like him. I think he's carving out a niche in the Lakers rotation, and I feel really comfortable rostering him at 4,100. I think, you know, given another couple weeks and he could be at 5,100, you know, that he's that talented and he's, you know, really getting some good run. The next player is Michael Beasley. As you alluded to earlier, Sean, Jabari Parker is down with an ACL, which is, you know, heartbreaking, but it opens up some value for DFS players with Michael Beasley. 4,400 taking on the Lakers at home. So yeah, you know, he's going to get a nice minute bump. Going to go up from his typical 10 to 15 minutes to probably, you know, 25 minutes or so. LA, of course, they're not good against opposing forwards. Beasley should have no trouble, you know, giving you a solid 0.9 to 1 point per minute FanDuel or fantasy point out. Ooh, I can't even talk right now. One fantasy point per minute outing. Yes.
There it is.
I nailed it. The best option, though, of this trio is Matt Barnes, 5,100, taking on Atlanta at home. he's getting tons of minutes. You know, right. Rudy Gay goes down, you know, and that kind of opens up a, there's a vacuum created there. He's just a far more useful player than Aaron Aflalo. Malachi Richardson's not ready for the show yet. You know, and Barnes is, you know, yeah, he's old. He's a veteran, a crappy team like the Kings. You'd think they want to go young, you know, but he's getting minutes. And Barnes, he fills up the stat sheet. He's scoring over 30 FanDuel points regularly now, you know, three straight. He's over 20 in six straight. So I don't know really what the decision is that people are going to be looking at with their second small forward. I think Matt Barnes is a lock. You know, whether you decide to use Melo or Wiggins, or you really do want to pay up for one of the big three, perhaps Jimmy. I just think for me, Barnes is a lock at my small forward too. I like him a lot.
That's a good call. I like Barnes. You know, Barnes, the thing that I really like about Barnes, and people are onto this for sure, is the rebound numbers. He's good. You know, since he kind of stepped into this bigger role, he's been getting double digit rebounds, you know, and it's just like, I think it's that veteran in him that's like, well, you know, I may not be the world's best scorer, but like, I'm going to contribute somehow. And, you know, that's working for them. You know, they got that win over Boston without Boogie. I think that Barnes is perfectly fine at 5-1. All right. Power forward, we've got a couple interesting options. Darrell Arthur and Lavoie Allen are both injury dependent, right? If Fareed is out, look for a bump for Arthur to get, just from minutes perspective. He would see probably 20 plus minutes in that second unit, and he's priced at 3.8. You like that price, you know, for 22 minutes against the Knicks front second unit front court. I'm good with that. He kind of profiles like a Derek Favors type, you know, but, you know, I think that the tricky thing about that is, you know, sometimes those guys just kind of disappear. They just play defense, take up space, grab six rebounds and call it a night. So buyer beware on Darrell Arthur, but I don't mind Darrell Arthur if Fareed is out. The other one is Lavoie Allen. Lavoie Allen, we've been on him, obviously, with without Thad Young in the lineup for the Pacers because of the wrist, then Allen is definitely in play. You know, Allen's not really a great basketball player, but the minutes are there, and you don't really have to fade minutes if you're punting that guy. So, you know, he's in a decent spot. I don't love the matchup with Washington because he's going to be competing with, you know, Gortat and Markieff Morris and Otto Porter on the glass, who are, you know, pretty solid rebounders, you know, participate in the rebounding at least. You know, so Allen, okay, if I have to. But the one that I actually really like that I feel like is kind of a nice sneaky play is Taj. Taj Gibson, 5K. We know what Taj can do. He's not going to blow anyone's doors off, but he's going to get you 28 minutes. He's going to be on the court in a solid matchup against the Suns, who are currently in the bottom five DVP to the power forward. Taj is just rock solid veteran, man. I mean, he's gonna, you know, he put up 25 FanDuel points in that game against Golden State, and he was like the only bright spot for the he was really the only bright spot for the whole for the Bulls that night. You know, Michael Carter Williams fell flat on his face, and Taj really stepped up and had a nice game for them, even though they lost. You know, he's consistent. So I don't mind Taj at all at 5K. I think he's, you know, usually goes overlooked, you know, and I especially like him maybe if, you know, Dwayne Wade is out, you get a little bit of extra usage on that first unit. So Taj at 5K, pretty rock solid there.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that Taj, you know, he's streaky, but he's a reliable, cheap power forward that I just, you know, for whatever reason, I just always feel comfortable rostering him. So I think that's a good call.
All right. Going on to center, Josh, talk to us about John Henson for a minute here, because we both agree that Henson is a rock solid value center tomorrow night.
Yeah, man. John Henson, Very solid play facing the Lakers. The Lakers as a team are just getting destroyed by their opponents, giving up tons of fantasy production, as everybody knows. All season long, over the last 10 games, over the last 5 games. Not just that, but they're getting destroyed by centers over the last 5, 10, and the season as well. So combine the team as a whole of the Lakers giving up a lot of production with the center position producing a lot against the Lakers, and you got a formula for success. Not to give you a cliche, ladies and gentlemen, I apologize for that, formula for success. But here's the thing. John Henson is $3,900.
Yeah.
Okay. $3,900. He's getting 31, 25, 26 minutes over his last 3 games. I don't know why he's 3,900. I don't know what that's all about. I think he went down in salary. I think he was like 42 or 41 against Phoenix and Denver. And for whatever reason, he's gone down in salary. It doesn't make any sense to me. But I mean, look, I love Cat. All right. I love Cat a lot. And I love Whiteside. But my calculator tells me that John Henson is almost 7K cheaper than Cat. And 7K is a lot of money to allocate to players all across your lineup. Yeah. So if you can get 30 points from Henson at 3,900, I mean, you now we're talking about 8X value. And I, you know, with this matchup, I just don't see how he doesn't get you 30 points. I mean, you know, just looking at his game against Denver, I mean, 32 points, 25, so 26 against Phoenix. Let's just call it in the middle and say he gets you 29. I mean, sure. Come on, guys, 3,900, 29 FanDuel points. Let's jump right in.
Right. You know, and I think that that's a really good point. I mean, there's certain rules that are developing in this season. You know, it's like, don't fade point guards against Denver. Don't fade centers against the Lakers. You know, I mean, we just saw what Schroeder and Drummond did the other night, and they just rolled. And, you know, I mean, it's just, there's no reason to question the inconsistencies, you know, the failures of those teams. They're proven failures. Those teams are not doing well, you know, and they can't guard those positions. So, okay, that's great. We'll take it.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, Josh, now we're going to move over to Lineup Lock. This is the segment where we build a cash core it obviously is subject to change. We know that, you know, it's definitely up in the air as to whether or not we're going to stick with it. But this is our starting place, you know, and this is a good place to build from. So, Josh, I'm going to let you start us off here since you're our guest and you have first pick, my friend.
Well, thank you, Sean. I'm going to start with Matt Barnes. I feel like he's just absolute lock. And I'm going to say it right now. There's no way I'm not rostering him tomorrow.
Okay. Matt Barnes it is. Matty Matt Barnes. How do we feel about similarly locking in our value center, our boy Johnny Henson?
You know, I like it. I was thinking about going with Henson first. You know, either him or Barnes. I mean, I think they're both super safe plays. I don't see why, you know, they don't return solid value. So that's a good call. As much as it pains me to not get on Cat, I think Henson's a good call.
Yeah, I would love to be on Cat as well. But I think you're absolutely right when you say, like, you just don't fade that value. You know what I mean?
Yep.
All right, Josh.
All right, so let's see. How about I don't want to pay up yet. So I think I'm going to go ahead and lock in or select. I don't want to say lock in. I'm going to go ahead and do Darren Collison.
Darren Collison. Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? I was just going to say, similarly, I'm going to lock. I think let's go for D Rose. Don't fade point guards against Denver. No reason. You know, he clearly is back. The minutes are there. He knows he's going to have a plus matchup at home. Let's go D Rose right there. That's a really nice pair of point guards in really good situations. We'll just stick with that.
Definitely. So we are four players in, and we are averaging now about 8K for the rest of the way out. I think I'm going to go ahead and go under 8K with my next selection. And I am going to put Andrew Wiggins on at 7,600, and we're at 8K on the dot.
Okay. Nice. Okay. So we're going to have to do some spending here. I think that we can go with Jokic. How do you feel about Jokic?
Yeah, I like Jokic against New York. You can't go wrong.
Let's take Jokic, and then we're still at 7-3 for all three remaining positions, which is really pretty nice.
Yeah. How about we toss Giannis in there as our second stud?
Interesting.
Okay. And we're at 5,400, which is, you know, for all intents and purposes, that's really nice.
No, that is pretty nice. Okay. So at 5,400, then let's go ahead and let's take Will Barton. He's 58, but I'm pretty sure that that's going to leave us with 5K for a good friend of ours at the power forward.
Yeah. So throw Taj Gibson in there. Got 100 left over. Now, of course, you know, we can go different ways with these lineups. We could go Cat instead of Henson and pay down instead at either power forward or shooting guard. We both like Cat a lot. Or you could go down even more at center and go with Whiteside. That'll free up some space. I think we both agree that we're not interested in paying up at point guard. Perhaps, you know, go Jimmy at small forward instead of Wiggins. There's a lot that you can do with this, but I like this lineup a lot.
Yeah, I was looking at this. I'm looking at the possibility of, you know, and I know you love Matt Barnes, but let's say, for example, that we get a green light on Jimmy, okay? Let's go Jimmy and Wiggins in that small forward spot. And then at shooting guard, we still have $6,900 left. And, you know, we could finagle just a touch and get ourselves onto Waiters, get ourselves onto Beal very easily and have a Waiters. You know, maybe we just get off of Taj and just take, let's see where we can go within that 4K range at small. We could easily go Darrell Arthur. Mm-hmm. You know, you could easily go Darrell Arthur and Brad Beal. I mean, so that's a really nice lineup as well. You got Bradley Beal, Will Barton, Jimmy Butler, Andrew Wiggins, and Nikola Jokic. I mean, that's just like you're just rock solid right there.
Another guy that I think could rebound after a tough matchup against Detroit is Larry Nance.
Yeah, that's true. Larry Nance is interesting. I just worry about his minutes now that Julius Randle is back. You know, I really don't know. I don't really trust that situation with Randle, you know, and I think that sometimes Walton goes hot hand, you know, and he just kind of
also go Willie Cauley-Stein at 3,800.
Willie Cauley-Stein. But, you know, he's on the second unit again, you know, more limited minutes now. But that is a very good call because Darrell Arthur's kind of meh. You know, there's really no ceiling there with Darrell Arthur.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking right now at NBArotations.info, and the other night against Boston, Cauley-Stein, he didn't start, but he played the whole end of the first quarter and beginning of the second quarter, and then pretty much closed out the game from the end of the third quarter all the way through the fourth. Everybody knows that the fourth quarter is a mad scramble of chucking up shots and sloppy play, steals, and whatnot.
The pace goes up, et cetera.
Yep. So, you know, definitely want to check out that website to help guide your decisions.
Well, some guys, So I think, like, strategically though, Josh, that tells you something more about what the coaches in Sacramento want to do with Willie Cauley-Stein. You know, maybe they want to open with Kufos, but they want to finish the game with Willie Cauley-Stein next to Boogie just because of the athleticism there, you know, and right. That's a good sign. You know, so that's a good call. Yeah, we could definitely get on that. Man, there's some really nice options right now. I feel really solid about these lineups. So guys, you know, of course, the original, let's go back down to, hold on, let's go to the original here. Let me get my fix. Let me fix this one. Go back to where we were at with our guys here. And okay, so the original cash core was Darren Collison and Derek Rose, Giannis and Will Barton, Matt Barnes and Andrew Wiggins, Jokic and Taj, and then John Henson down there at center. That just feels really nice, man. It feels really solid. It feels like it doesn't really have a lot of holes in it. There's nobody that I really feel uncomfortable with. I like that lineup quite a bit.
As do I.
And hey, John, do me
listen,
a favor.
Before we hit the road here, I just want to say that I'm not bragging here. But I'm just saying how crazy DFS is. So I put up 325 tonight. I'm currently in 24th in the $1 NBA dribbler, which is freaking crazy. But the difference between me and the first place player is 19 points. Ooh. And if I would have used... instead of Ryan Anderson, kept the whole roster the same, but just swapped Anderson with Dario Saric, I would be in first place.
Yeah.
It's crazy how things work out that way. We have the exact same lineup, except he used Saric and I used Anderson.
Which means, more interestingly than anything, that means that guy left $600 on the table.
Yeah, and that's something that I want to talk about in more detail sometime soon.
Yeah, we'll have to look that up because, I mean, the truth of the matter is sometimes the better play, you don't have to spend your whole bankroll to create the best play possible. You know, you leave $300-$400 on the table and be okay with that.
Yeah, and leaving like $600, $800, that can really differentiate you from other people a lot.
Yeah, really, really good call. Good call. All right, Josh. Hey, man, rock solid. Good on you for some dough tonight. Very, very, very happy to hear that you are winning some money. My cash lineup is doing I'm doing just fine. I'm doing just fine. I'm hanging in there. It'd be really, really would be nice if we get a really rock solid game from Dame and Mo Harkless. Oh, yes. And it looks like we're going to have OT in Utah, which very good for me. I've got Joe Johnson at 2%, he didn't do as much as Jingles tonight. I wish I had rostered Jingles. But Joe Johnson, who knows? He could hit a couple threes in overtime. And he did. What did I say? I said at the beginning of the show, all he has to do is do better than Sam Decker, and he did.
There you go.
All right, let's not waste anybody else's time talking about our fantasy teams. Josh, where can people find you on Twitter?
Find me Josh Fern, JOSHFERN. Check out the DFS Chats podcast coming up soon. I will tell you guys more about that on the Saturday edition of Lineup Logic, and that's about it, my friend.
All right, brother. As always, guys, good luck in your contest. Come talk to us on Twitter. My name, Hey Mr. Kane. Obviously, we are happy to answer questions, talk to you about lineup construction ideas, who do you like, who do you not like, et cetera, et cetera. And good luck in your contest tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Night.